the first thing that I just want to give us to think about, you know, in Greek, when Aristotle talks about virtue, that word literally means excellence, like being supremely awesome in some way. We talk about sometimes, you know, the virtues, it's a little bit archaic, we talk about like the virtues of medicinal plants or something. The really awesome healing powers that a particular plant can bring to like fix your messed up body or whatever it is. It's not just like, you know, growing sufficiently to not die. It's like doing something really notably, really well, really shining in some way. And that is kind of the taken for granted notion of virtue in the ancient world, that notion of excellence. So that tends to get glossed over when people read Aristotle today, because he doesn't talk about it very much. He just says, yeah, of course we all know that. Now let me tell you the part 2,000 years ago that we don't all think about all the time. And so he, because we're living in a different time and place, we don't tend to associate that supreme awesomeness, excellence sort of notion with the term virtue in the same way that Aristotle would. But Aristotle invites us to balance that with, at the same time, being a path between opposing extremes. Like, you can go wrong from that excellence, from that awesomeness, in multiple different and opposing directions. So one of the things we'll look at is the way in which excellence is at the same time a balance point, a midpoint, a mean, in the mean like a middle sort of sense. So those are the two notions that we're going to try to read together. So just invite us to reflect on, if we're so inclined as we walk just the 15 minutes or whatever to our first stop, ways in which we think about excellence of human beings. And just to kind of cue up that notion in our minds a little bit, I'll have some examples and some ways to talk us through this at the first stop. And I'd also just like to put out the invitation, and this turns out to be a really great topic on which to put out this invitation. Aristotle, in the Nicomachean Ethics, one of his three treatises on ethics that survived for us, talks about lots of examples of virtues and vices, where vice is the opposite, the antonym of virtue. And sometimes he'll get to a case where, like, yeah, we have this one vice and we call it whatever. But the virtue that goes with that doesn't really have a name in Greek. He'll just say, this virtue is kind of anonymous, or this particular vice is anonymous. And my favorite translation of this text by Thomas Taylor, he literally translates it as, you know, this virtue is anonymous. It has no name. And so that notion that there are these concepts and these goals or these ideals or these anti-ideals, if it's a vice, like I think you want to avoid, some of them don't have clear-cut names, should invite us to think as best we can with the concepts and not get hung up on the labels, not get hung up on the words for these things. So if Aristotle turns out to mean something a little bit different than we're used to about what courage might be or about what generosity might be, let's try to first think through, well, maybe there's a different label we would like to give for that. But whether we want to call it generosity or call it some other thing, can we get Aristotle's concept in our mind first and then quibble about the names, if we're so inclined to quibble about names, rather than starting with, well, I use the word generosity differently, so I'm just not going to first do the hard work of understanding here. And Aristotle's aware that he's using words, even in his own time, a little bit differently, or trying to bring precision that words might not always have. And that thing that he comes back to a half a dozen times in the Ethics of, yeah, this one's kind of anonymous, cues us into the, hey, we're going to have to do that conceptual work before we do the kind of quibbling about names work. So we'll think about that, and I guess the word virtue itself might be an example of that, depending how we're accustomed to use that. But what I'd like to invite us to do in the first stop is, with some fairly clear-cut examples, things like bravery or generosity, to kind of think through the method by which Aristotle comes to talk about virtue and vice. In the second stop, we'll look at some things that I think are going to be really out there for most of us. Things that for Aristotle, even for his community, we're like, yeah, that's a virtue. And we're like, what? Are you kidding? work through those examples as a way of seeing how the method might lead to an unfamiliar conclusion. And then in our final stop, I'd like us to take some examples that I have some, but I'm hoping we'll come up with some as a group. Things that Aristotle might not initially recognize as a virtue, and then see what kind of traction his method might or might not give us with regard to some things that either we personally or our friends and neighbors or people in our community might call a virtue, and ask the question, how well does this work with the method? So first, think ourselves into a system of thought, into a thought world. Work it out on its own terms in some ways that might surprise us, and then push it in ways that it may not have ever been designed for, and see what happens. But we'll work through understanding to challenging ourselves, and then finally to challenging the schema or the system. And I think by doing that, we can get the most rich and the most robust conversation in a way that just starting out with the, that doesn't make sense, isn't going to lead us to new and interesting ideas in quite the same depth as it would otherwise. So if that sounds good, I mean, if there are any questions, we'll take them, but we can probably just, like, get moving a little bit and take the questions, you know, in 10 or, either as we walk or in 10 or 15 minutes or whatever.
Okay.
So let's do that.